Malachi chapter 1. Good to have you in the house of the Lord this evening. We'll do the same thing in the book of Malachi as we go. It's all the only reason I do that's for a review. And I think you enjoy looking for them too. People will like to do that. Malachi chapter 1. Now we began this grand book last week. And the children of Israel had, of course, in the days of Ezra, God had sent them back to rebuild the temple. And then in the days of Nehemiah, God sent, later on, they added the wall. So it was a time of revival for Israel. And what had happened in the book of Malachi, though, is several years have went by, and now we notice in the book of Malachi, they drift right back into sin again. And that's what the book of Malachi is. He's addressing their worship. He's addressing, especially tonight, we're going to see that they had public worship. They had public worship, but their worship was horrible. The Lord just rejected their worship, and that's what we're going to be looking at. They had some tremendous problems with their worship, and we're going to be looking tonight, Lord willing, verses 6 through verse 14. So we'll work our way down through that particular text. So they dishonored God's name. What was the message last week? Remember what it was? They dishonored God's love. They dishonored God's love. That was verses 1 through 5. They dishonored God's love. And now tonight we're going to see they dishonored God's name. Okay? Now, as I said, he's addressing their worship. Their worship was a problem. Now, beloved, there's two types of worship, and you got to have both of them. Now, y'all come out here on this Wednesday night, and I appreciate it. This is public worship. The Bible says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner or the habit of some is. Everybody needs public worship. The more public worship you get, the closer you'll get to the Lord. But you just can't have public worship. You also need private worship. And this is when, and we are so benefited today in this, in the sense that we got our own Bibles. We got our own book. We got the own copy of the book. So we can study our Bibles at home. And I think every one of God's people should do that. We should have a hunger and a thirst. So we need to have public worship, and we need to have private worship. Now, what I've noticed, most generally, those that don't worship publicly usually don't have a private worship time either. But you need the combination of both of those things, and this will keep you strong. Taking in God's Word is like eating. The Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. So if you don't eat, what's going to happen to you? You're going to get weak. And that's true in a spiritual sense also. So you need the combination of both of these. Now, the spiritual lessons we're going to look at tonight is addressed to the priests of Israel. And they had drifted. And they were doing things as public servants that they had no business doing. A priest, while they were priests, was one purpose was to offer sacrifices. That's what they did. They offered the sacrifices to the people. They also would teach God's law. They did both of those. Well, their religious leaders, the priest, had drifted. And that's what he's addressing in this text. The people as a whole, in their worship, they were still coming to worship, but they were dishonoring God in their worship. They wasn't worshiping correctly. And he's going to address, man, you talk about, I don't know, getting chewed out. They did. Their worship was horrible. You see, when we come and worship publicly and privately, who we're seeking to please is our God. And it must be done properly, and it must be done in spirit and in truth. But their worship, especially their public worship, was horrible. So he's addressing this to their priest. Okay, so let's go ahead and begin now. I introduced what we're going to be doing. Let's go ahead and look at verse 6. It says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. It's Malachi 1:6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. Now, he's just using a human illustration, and that's what you would see. God was their father, wasn't he? God was their father. God had made them the nation that they were. God had called them out and made the nation out of Abraham, didn't he? He made them a special people to him. Y'all agree? He made them, the Old Testament said he made them a special people unto himself above all people on the face of the earth. And you know what he did? He gave them the scriptures. Scriptures come through Israel. He gave them the temple. He gave them the law. He made them his people. So he was their father. And as a father, he deserved respect and honor. That's what he deserved. But that wasn't what they were giving him. They were disrespecting him. And that's what he's dealing with here in verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where's mine honor? And if I be a master, of course, God is our master, and we are his what? We're his servants. That's the idea of it. Where is my fear or reverence? They were not honoring him as father, nor was they reverencing him as their master. The Lord of hosts unto you, O priests. You see where he's addressing the priests? He's addressing this with their spiritual leaders. They had drifted into a worship that was unacceptable to the Lord. They weren't worshiping right. They were going to the house of God and they were going through the motions, but their worship was rejected by God. And we're going to see some of the reasons why that is. He accuses them in verse 6 of despising God's name. And why was they? How was they despising God's name? They wasn't worshiping as they should. Their worship was not acceptable with the Lord. It wasn't what it should be. They weren't doing what they should have been doing. And God's addressing their worship. God's very concerned about your public worship. Very concerned about our public worship. Like I said at the beginning, you need both of them. You need private, but you also need public worship. People are blessed if they have a teaching church anymore where they can come in and sit down and hear the Word of God taught, because anymore, the way the trend is going, you know, trends come and go, don't you think? But the trend is going is what they're doing anymore, they're hacking off services. They're going down to one big Sunday morning service. And then they're doing away with Bible study on Wednesdays and Sunday nights. And a lot of them's doing that anymore. Have one service a week. I like to have a bunch of services during the week. The more the merrier, I think. I don't think you cut out services. But that's the trend anymore. They're cutting, they're going down to one service a week, you know, moving also more into the entertainment and pushing out the Word too. Because people don't want to hear the Word. That's boring for folk. Let me tell you something. There ain't nothing wrong with a church that teaches God's Word. But there is something wrong with a Christian that don't love to hear God's Word. All God's people say it. They should be a hunger to hear the book. And that's how you grow. That's how people get saved. The Word of God is the key in our spiritual growth. So that's what was happening. So their priests are being addressed because they were allowing all of these things to happen. And they're showing disrespect and dishonor to their God in the way that they was worshiping. They wasn't worshiping God correctly. So, verse 7. Now he begins to show what they were doing. And he says, now remember the accusation. He says in verse 6 that they were despising my name. Now when God sends a prophet to you and says, you're despising my name, you're in trouble. I mean, that's not a good place to be. They were disrespecting God in their worship. Let me say it one more time. They were disrespecting God in their worship. And he says in verse 7, he shows what they were doing. It says, ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. They were speaking badly of the Lord's table in this particular. Sometimes in sacrifices, they would offer a grain offering. It's called a mincha. They would offer a mincha. And they were using what kind of bread? Polluted bread. They wasn't using the proper bread. Now notice in verse 8, it goes in a little bit more detail and tells you what they were doing. They were to offer sacrifices, but they were to offer the best. They were to give God the what? The best. Not that which is left over. Not that which was damaged. They were to give God the very best that they had. That's what they're supposed to do. But you know what they were doing? Look at verse 8. They were giving God leftovers is what they basically was doing. They wasn't giving to God their best. It says in verse 8, ye offer the blind for a sacrifice. See, a sacrifice was to be without spot and without blemish. You need to be perfect as far as looking at it. Why is that? Who did the sacrifices picture? So to bring a sacrifice there that wasn't proper, that was sickly, or that was blind, was inappropriate to do that and disrespectful to do that. They were to bring their best. They was bringing what was, they was bringing to God that which nobody else wanted. They didn't offer to God their best. They offered to God that which nobody else wanted and that which is left over. They weren't offering the sacrifices correctly. Y'all think it's disrespectful? I sure do, and God sure did too. They were bringing the blind animals for sacrifice. If you offer the lame, not only the blind, but lame. Well, this one's got a broken leg. We'll just give that to the Lord. People do that with furniture too, by the way. They'll get something new. They'll have something 40 years old with the leg falling off. We'll just donate that to the church. No, that's what they basically were doing. They were giving that which nobody else wanted to the Lord. The God that brought them back to their land. The God through whom that nation was going to come, the Messiah. They were offering to God that which was blind. They were offering to God that which was lame and sick. And he said, is this not evil? Is this not evil? Is that a question? Yep. Yes, it was evil. They was giving the Lord that which they did not want. Remember, the sacrifices was to be without spot, without blemish. They couldn't be blind. They couldn't be halt with one leg. They had to offer that which was the best, not that which was left over. He said, go offer it to your governor. That's what he says. See what it says in verse 8? He said, you go take what you're offering to your God, and you offer it to your leader. You offer it to your governor. Well, they wouldn't think about doing that because that would be so what? Disrespectful to give it to your leader. God's over their leader. God's higher than their leader. So what they're doing is they're just giving to God that which was left over. David said something in the Old Testament. He was building an altar, and he was going to offer a sacrifice on it, and a man gave him the materials and things to do it with. And he told David just to keep it. It's in 2 Samuel 24:24. He said, you just, here, I don't want nothing for it. And he said, no, I want to pay for it. God forbid that I offer to my God that which costs me nothing. And David paid for it. He could have got it for free, but it was for God. He paid for it. It's the same similar kind of situation, except David is the opposite part of what these people were doing. They were bringing that which was blind and maimed, what nobody else wanted. So we'll just give that to God. That's what they was doing. So their sacrifices weren't right. Let's turn to the book of Leviticus chapter 22. Leviticus chapter 22. Giving God leftovers. Leviticus 22. Just notice verse 20. Notice what it says, Leviticus 22 in verse 19. You offer at your own will a male without blemish, the beeves of the sheep or the goats, but whatsoever hath a blemish, you see it in verse 20? Whatsoever hath a blemish, thou shalt not offer, for it shall not be acceptable for you. So the book of Leviticus said they weren't to offer anything that had any kind of blemish. Now, why do we know that they weren't supposed to do that again? Picture Christ, who was without spot. So they needed to offer correctly, and they weren't doing so. And whosoever offered the sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord to accomplish his vow for a freewill offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. It shall be what? It had to be perfect to be accepted. Why was that again and now? Because it represented the perfect Son of God. There shall be no blemish therein. See, the Levitical law, it has this in it. Guess what? The priests knew it. They had to know it. There were priests. The priests would be educated in the book of Leviticus. They would have known about the sacrifices. I don't know. I guess they just compromised. Y'all think they compromised? That's a compromise. They weren't offering as God said. They were disrespecting God. They were dishonoring God's name by offering sacrifices that were... Notice verse 22. Are you still in Leviticus? I looked this up for you. Blind or broken or maimed or having a wind or scurvy or scabbed, ye shall not offer these unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altar unto the Lord, either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in his parts, that thou mayest offer for a freewill offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. And you can go on and on down through there. It addressed this in the book of Leviticus. And they were offering incorrectly. And what they basically were doing is they were throwing to God that which no one else wanted. That's what they were doing. They were offering to the Lord what nobody else wanted. See, they did. They weren't willing to give of themselves and offer correctly. Now, the priests are to blame here. And the reason why, we go back to the book of Malachi, the reason why the priests are being addressed is because they were the spiritual leaders. So that means that they weren't doing what? They weren't saying anything about it. I mean, they could have, they had the law there. They could have went to the book of Leviticus and said, hey, you're not bringing that into God's house here and offering that. You go back and look, and they could read it in the book of Leviticus to them, because the priests knew God's law, but they weren't applying God's law. They weren't applying it. And they offered to God that which was left over, that which nobody else wanted. And that's why he said, you go offer that to a governor, your governor, your political leader. You invite them down and give and offer what you're offering to the great high God of Israel. You offer that to your leader. See what happens. They were basically giving to God what? Leftovers. Man, that's happening a lot. That happens a lot down to the day, don't it? That happens a lot all the way down the day. God deserves our time, doesn't he? God deserves our worship. In many cases, in giving, in a lot of different cases, people just offer to God that which is left over. They don't give him what is best. God deserves our what? He deserves our best, not that which is left over. People do it with their time too. God deserves our time also. We are to spend time with our God. And you know he'll spend as much time with you as you want. There's no question on God's part that he wants to spend time with his child. All God's people say it. There's no question. But what many times what happens, not only, you know, they give his, you know, that which wasn't proper far as sacrifice is concerned. But we just give God oftentimes our leftover time. We often just give God our leftover time. You know, he deserves our time. Let me ask you a question. How much time do you spend with the Lord? How much time do you spend with the Lord? And I know you got to work, and we all got to work. We all work jobs and things. But It'd be good to compare the television time with Bible time, wouldn't it? It don't compare. There's no comparison between the two. Average American watch 4 and 5 hours a day of television. If you take your Bible time and prayer time and church time, I bet it still don't measure up even halfway to television time. Y'all agree? I just about guarantee you that. Many times we give in. You know what I think the Lord wants more from His children than anything else? I just mentioned it. Time. Maybe He wants your time. He wants your attention. He wants to spend time with you. You know, He loves you. There's nobody loves you like the Lord does. So He has a desire to... Hey, the God of glory has a desire to spend time with His child. Loves to and can and will. And there's no limit to it. Nobody greater than our God. But, you know, many times we just don't have no time for Him. We just don't give Him no time. It's often we take, you can take the time we do of so many different kinds of things. And then when you take all that time and compare it together, it's just not a whole lot of time we spend with the Lord. And what makes you happy and what makes you grow and what makes you close is that time you spend with Him. And you got to choose to do that every day of your life. So they were just not, they weren't spending no time with Him. They were basically offering to God that which was left over as far as their sacrifices was concerned. They wasn't offering the best. They were offering the worst. Can I ask you a question? Are you offering the best or are you offering the worst? Now let's read on. Notice what else it says. Verse 8, ye offer the blind for sacrifice. Is that not evil? And ye offer the lame and the sick. Is that not evil? He said, offer that unto your governor. And he see if he'll be pleased with you. And accept thy person, saith the Lord. He said, now I pray you beseech God that He will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will He regard your persons? Saith the Lord of hosts. He said, who is there among you that would shut the doors for naught? Now he's still addressing the priest. And he said, who among you would even shut the doors for naught? And the idea of for naught is without getting paid for it. Now these men were full-time, the priests and the Levites were provided for by the tithes and offerings of the people, which is the way that the Lord set down. Let me go back and read that text again. He said, I beseech you again, be gracious to us. This has been your means. Will He regard your persons? Who there even among you will shut the doors for naught? That means without getting money for it. Neither do ye kindle a fire on my altar for naught. That's without getting money for it. He said, I don't have any pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. Oh, God's people say it. That's a fearful thing. Yeah, I won't accept it. I think not only was the priest taking in all these improper sacrifices and they weren't saying anything, but it also seems that they were motivated by money. See, money was had entered into the thing in the text. He said, you won't do anything for naught. You won't go the extra mile for naught. You're going to have money for everything that you do. So seemingly they were money motivated. Their spiritual leaders had not only drifted into accepting the blind and the weak and the poor and all these different things for offerings, but they had drifted into a situation where they weren't offering correctly. They weren't giving warnings either. Why weren't the priests saying anything about this thing? Well, they'd grown silent about it. And I think that's what happens when money begins to be the priority with a preacher or with a church. It takes money to do things with a church, but that's not the driving force behind the church. Pastor and preacher is to get paid. Don't get me wrong. The Bible says a laborer is worthy of his hire. But the scriptures teach what a preacher does. But these men would do nothing extra. You won't do anything for naught. You're going to have to get paid for every little thing that you do, seemingly showing that they were motivated by money. A lot of that today. Preachers not to be motivated by money. That's not the reason why they do it. There is so many, and it is sad, there is so many, and you see them on television all the time, and all they do is bum for money. That's all they ever do. But you want to know something? When you really need something, when you need somebody sent to visit somebody at a hospital somewhere, when you need to have somebody to do a service, when you got a problem in the middle of the night and you call the pastor in your church, don't you? What people ought to do is call that preacher they send all their money to and see if he does it. See if you can get in touch with him. See if he'll give you a visit. That's one of the reasons why local churches are dying. You don't get no benefit off men like that. They're after your money. We ain't after your money. We're after your soul, and we're after to see you grow. But it's a shame how many people send off to these shysters. And it shows them one. They got billions and millions of dollars fly around in a jet. $1,000, well, it's born $1,000 suits. And they're all motivated by covetousness. And sinner people see them people and think, that's what churches are. That's a lie. That's not what churches are. Not to be motivated by it. Well, these priests had drifted into it. They wouldn't do anything without getting paid for it. They wouldn't do anything extra. They were motivated by money. God's men are not to be motivated that way. God's men to be paid. But money's not the driving force behind the ministry. Service to your God. It's one of the greatest professions there are. It's to be a minister of the gospel. It's a great honor to do it. But money isn't the motivator behind it. All God's people say it. These priests, that was their motivation. They had drifted into covetousness. And they weren't addressing the improper sacrifices that was being brought that pictures our Savior Jesus. So he's addressing every bit of that with them. Let's notice on. Verse 10. Who there among you will shut the doors for naught, neither will you kindle a fire on mine altar for naught? I have no pleasure in you. Wouldn't that be a horrible thing to have God say that to you? I have no pleasure in you. Their service had been rejected by the Lord. They were going through the motions of being servants of God, but God said, I have no pleasure in you. Wouldn't you hate to hear that from the Lord? It's because of what they were doing, motivated by money, offering incorrect sacrifices. And notice what else he said in verse 10. In the latter part of verse 10, he said, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. He said, when you make an offering to me, I won't even accept that. God rejected their worship. Isn't that a frightening thing for God to reject the people's worship? He rejected the priest's worship. The word offering in verse 10, if you want to underline this and write it down, is the word mincha. It's a grain offering. He said, I won't even take a mincha at your hand. Whatever you offer, I'm not going to accept it. It's the very last part of verse 10. He wouldn't accept it. All right, you ready for verse 11? If you're here tonight, and everybody's Gentiles here tonight, we're spiritual Jews, but here's a blessing for us. Are you ready? For from the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great amongst the Gentiles. All God's people said, that's us. It makes you want to shout, doesn't it? That's us. That's looking all the way down to Bancroft, West Virginia. We're all Gentile people. We love Jesus. We teach these, I think, the honor of being able to stand before a congregation of people and teach these book. We publicly come in and get to sing praises to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And one of these days, we'll be in the kingdom and we'll sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We'll be there. Noah will be there. Think about it. What a blessing. We'll get up there one of these days, and I look over, and there'll be Stewie. He'll probably be talking to Jacob or Abraham or somebody somewhere over there. There might be Larry talking. He might be over talking to David somewhere. Those old Jews we read about in the Old Testament. Here he's making a prophecy. This prophecy right here is about us. Have we seen this happen? Are we seeing it happen? Yeah, buddy. His name is great amongst the Gentiles. We're Gentile people. Jews by new birth, but by physical birth we're. From the rising of the sun, even the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered unto my name. Prayer is a picture of the incense. Let my prayer come before you as incense, the book of Psalms says. It's a sweet smell to the Lord when the Gentiles pray to him. My name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. Now he goes back, and we'll go finish 12 through 14. But now he goes back after giving us this great prophecy of the salvation of Gentiles. And we're evidence, look here, we're evidence of that right here tonight, ain't we? All the way down to Bancroft, West Virginia, we're evidence. His name is great here in this meeting tonight, isn't it? We're rejoicing in him. He's our Messiah too. He's our Savior. Think about it. Y'all feel honored? Oh, man, you should. There ain't nothing any better. I don't deserve that, though, do you? Now he goes back and addresses the priest again, but you have profaned it. He said, my name, in other words, my name will be great amongst the Gentiles. He said, but you all have profaned it. Malachi gives them a mouthful of prophecy. He just, a prophet, all they did was tell you what God said. And he's giving them a mouthful. It says, the table of the Lord is polluted. The fruit thereof is contemptible. All right, I want you to underline. If you underline in your Bible, verse 13 is a good one to underline. Here's what they were saying about worshiping God and serving God. Behold, what a weariness it is. Did y'all underline that? Behold, what a weariness. It's like that saying, oh boy, isn't that a pain? I got to go to church, isn't it? Oh, I hate going to church. I'm just weary with going to church. That's basically what they were doing, kind of like that. They said, oh, what a weariness it is. How boring it is. And he said, you snuffed at it. You blowed at it like it was something not what it should be. It didn't give it the proper honor that they should. People do that with church, beloved. They'll go, oh, what a weariness it is. You can patch church members coming to church. You really can. You can walk out there and just absolutely no remorse over it whatsoever. Just wave at the preacher. I don't understand that kind of stuff. Yeah, I don't understand that kind of stuff. You consider church a weariness to them. It's bothersome. Not something they enjoy doing. I tell you, there ain't nothing. There's something wrong with somebody like that. Y'all think? Church isn't a burden. Church is a privilege and an honor to be able to come and worship God publicly. Shame, oh. You see a lot of it. Oh, I got to go to church. I'd rather do anything than go to church. I don't know how a man could say that, beloved, and be close to the Lord. It'd just be impossible to do that. But many people are that way. What a weariness it is, and you snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. You brought that which is torn and lame and sick. You brought an offering. Should I accept this at your hand? They've given God leftovers again. And, beloved, do y'all think that's the people still giving God leftovers? They give him their leftover money. They give him their leftover time. They just give him what they don't want. They don't make any kind of sacrifices to serve the Lord. To serve the Lord faithfully requires sacrifice. Intent and effort. When you love the Lord, you're glad to do it. All God's people say it. Amen. All right. Verse 14, we'll close this out. But cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male and voweth and sacrificeth to the Lord a corrupt thing. They had the proper sacrifices in their herds and flocks. but they were sacrificing that which wasn't proper. They didn't want, you know, they wanted to save the best for them, and they didn't want to give God their best. Beloved, do you think we should give God our best? He gets our best. He deserves our best. Okay. Verse 14, here's what he says. I am a great what? I'm a great king. He is King of Kings. And he deserves our very, very best of everything. Best time, best of everything. I'm a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful amongst the heathen. All God's people say it. All right. Thank you so much. You enjoying the book of Malachi? It's a rebuking book now. I mean to tell you, it's a rebuking book. You remember we have a business meeting tonight. If you